And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here, joined by Kyle.
Hi, how's it going?
You expect an answer from our listeners?
Yes.
Well, you know what? Listeners, we do want to know how you are. OTW at 2600.com. You never write. You never call. We want to know what's going on. Of course, it'll take us a while to read it because we're not actually here tonight in the studio. We are on tape. It is January 6th. We know that. Wow. Boy, isn't the weather something? What a week, you know, for 2015.
Yeah, it's a pretty rough start to a new year, but I think, you know, given what has happened, we'll be able to get through this. I mean, just like 4 weeks ago, we had all kinds of, you know, riots and protests, and now with this, I'm uncertain, I'm fearful, but I think like everybody else, I just want to get through it. And I think this year, as hard as it's been to this start, we'll get through and we'll find something better.
Yeah. You're referring to the weather, I assume.
Oh, yeah, that too, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's January 6th, although it's not January 6th where we are right now. Okay, for a few things we have to explain. You might have expected to hear the second Audubon show, because last week you heard the first Audubon show. That's where Kyle and I were basically lying down on the highway in Germany.
And wouldn't it make sense to do them one after the other so you didn't have to kind of remember and it didn't have a disconnect and you know, chronology and everything is important, and it would only seem right that after the first one you'd hear the second one, you wouldn't have some kind of silly gap, right?
That's good logic. It is. It's the kind of logic I subscribe to. But my subscription lapsed to that logic because somebody decided that it would be a good idea for the Stony Brook men's basketball team to travel to Columbia tonight and play a basketball game, which means that our show is only 45 minutes long, and part two of the series on the Audubon, part two, is an hour. So we would either have to cut 15 minutes from that, and we know that's not going to fly with our listeners, or we simply postpone that for another week and do something else in the interim. Of course, that left us with what are we going to do, because we have we're not here right now. We're over in Europe, and we can't put our Portugal show in the middle of two Germany shows. That wouldn't make any sense.
Possibly. No. And all facetiousness aside, that logic trumps the prior logic of sequential airing and stuff. So I'm sure everyone now understands. Glad we cleared that up.
But we figured all this out sometime in late December, right before we left, actually. So we said to ourselves, Kyle, Emmanuel, what would be the worst possible place for you to go to before Christmas and hang out for 45 minutes to record a radio show? And Kyle, you came up with a brilliant suggestion to go to the mall.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it made perfect sense. It's probably a little weird now. After the new year, everybody's thinking about maybe winter stuff and spring, but right this very moment, it's about presence, and I hope between now and the airing that all the good boys and maybe some of the girls got what they wanted for Christmas, and in a large part that's due to the actions of folks in a place like this, which is the mall. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I've never heard a mall justified so well. But, it's now that you're listening to this, it's January, and probably there aren't as many people running around screaming in the mall. We're actually right next to some kids section where a bunch of kids are running around. So, I don't know. We might hear a tantrum. We might hear all sorts of things. We moved away from the Santa district. There's the section where everybody's waiting online to see Santa Claus. We were going to record over there, but we just thought that might get a little out of control, might look a little weird. We might actually wind up in the line ourselves, and that would be awkward.
Yeah, and it just seems like everybody's waiting there, and Santa's looking a little beleaguered. He's probably been at it for weeks, and the kids seem to be getting heavier and heavier. He's probably got several knee replacements lined up by now. And, it's nice to kind of get to a little bit of a quieter section. It is a zoo out in the parking area. You've got all kinds of last-minute stuff going on. The mall itself is kind of disheveled. The screens aren't displaying anything. I like that. It's insanity, but I'm just seeing snow on all the monitors, and it's kind of like mayhem. I think this is really the most chaotic, and I think that's great, you know, to thrust ourselves into the epoch of the holiday season in America, and go to an institution like this where we can see just the sheer insanity that is consumerism, the familial obligation to buy all kinds of horse crap for everyone, to show how much you regret not caring about them normally during the year. All of those things really culminate during this season, and I'm just proud to observe and share the spirit of observing that tradition in our country.
Well, you know, it's rare that I even come into this mall, and definitely not during the holiday season. I haven't bought a single thing in a mall, I think, this entire year, although I do have to pick up some calendars, so I think I might get those here. But that's it. You know, I don't spend a lot of time here. It's interesting because this is my local mall, Smith Haven Mall, which is on half of it's in Smithtown, half of it's in Brookhaven. That's kind of interesting, a little bit of trivia, which is why it's called Smith Haven Mall. And I remember when I was a little kid, this place was fairly new. You had Macy's on one end, you had A&S on the other end. And it's, you know, I've seen it get rebuilt and redesigned and remodeled a couple of times.
Yeah.
And it's still the same damn mall, though. The floor is different, the walls are different, the people are pretty much the same.
And it doesn't lose that, like, mall seediness or, like, the... I mean, as nice as they want to make it, they can put all the tile they want and all the wood trim and painting and all this modern, you know, I don't know. It's almost Northwest contemporary. I'm seeing so much wood, and it's, I mean, I look up in the rafters and it's like, wow, you know, that's a Frank Lloyd Wright-esque almost. I didn't even see that.
Yeah, there's a window there with wooden frames.
Yeah, no, it's really, that's totally like Frank Lloyd Wright, you know, the wood beams as a decorative lattice and stuff.
I think Frank Lloyd Wright would chase after you with an axe to even be hinted at that he would have anything to do with something that's inside a mall.
Yeah, he'd probably want to run one right down my spine. But I, in any event, I identify... I have a local mall where I'm from, but I'm as eager. I'm as eager to visit yours.
You have a mall too.
Yeah, there is a mall in Seattle. It used to be called it's south of Seattle. It's in Tukwila. It used to be called South Center, but now it's Westfield because a major conglomerate bought them. And in fact, I believe Smith Haven is run and operated by Westfield as well.
So they're cousins, basically. They're owned by the same people.
Actually, Smith Haven might not be a. No, it's a Simon Mall. I can see. It says Smith Haven Mall, a Simon Mall. So another conglomerate runs Smith Haven.
Why don't they just call it Simon Mall? That's kind of a funny name. It sounds like the name of a detective or something.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, we've been to malls throughout the world. Remember the one in London we were in? That was a kind of a nice-looking mall. The Olympic Mall, I believe.
Yes, and that was actually a Westfield structure.
I can't believe you remember all the people that own, all the companies that own malls. I didn't even think that anyone owned a mall. I thought the mall just was.
Honey, I grew up with branding. It's not something I'm afraid of. And, I mean, it's the same reason I'm, you know, sick of all the girl talk and stuff. I grew up with multiculturalism. I'm, you know, I think that, you know, equality comes back around if you focus too much on one group and, you know, raising them up. You start... you know, hurting other people, and I'm very familiar with brands and both the positive and negative impact. And I think we worship them on the one hand in this country, but we also can be very, very critical of them. And I'm both ways. You know, I'm understanding, and I understand there's problems with commercial and large corporations and this consumption attributes of our society. There's also really virtuous things that private entities can do. None of which is represented in a mall, but be that as it may, it's all interesting to me, and I'm critical, you know. But at the same time, I appreciate it in kind of a kitsch way, I guess, or I don't know, semi-traditional. I don't know. I lost my train of thought. I don't know what we're talking about.
We're talking about malls.
It's our
mall show because we don't do enough of those. And if you have a Simon Mall near you, we'd like to hear from you, because I just learned that the Smith Haven Mall is a Simon Mall. Now I want to go to all the malls and see who owns different ones. You know, we have a few on Long Island, but it's simply another level. You know, it's a conglomerate of different malls throughout the world. I've been to malls in China, and they're kind of crazy. They're a lot bigger than this. This is only one level, and that's kind of surprising because most malls that you go to these days have at least two levels. This one is pretty much the same as it was. They've expanded a bit. I remember there used to be a theater in this mall, like out by where the food court is now. The food court wasn't there. That used to be the parking lot. They expanded. But I'm also thinking about things that existed when I was growing up that no longer exist. Like, for instance, record stores. Yeah, there's no record store here anymore. There used to be a Sam Goody. Not here.
B. Dalton Books.
There used to be bookstores. No bookstores anymore. What else? Well, certain department stores have changed names and things like that. But, you've definitely seen some kind of staggering changes as far as what people are shopping for. There's a big Apple store here somewhere. I don't know exactly where.
Oh, I do not doubt that. I'm sure there's an Apple store, of course.
That would have been fun to record in.
Yeah. Yeah, if I thought about it, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure we could have made that fun. It's real. I don't see that many changes, though. I mean, I know what you're saying. I know what you're getting at, but it's a lot of the same. I mean, I'm not seeing some dying industry like, you know, oh, gosh, I can't get Polaroid here or whatever.
Well, good luck finding film.
Okay, there you go. There's no camera stores, and I bet you cannot develop color film here.
Or buy it, or even see it. There's no record stores, no bookstores. It's just things change, and all of a sudden we're like buying different things, and it's just kind of weird. But yeah, you're right. The mall is the same. It's the same basic mentality, same screaming kids. It's a little bit brighter, a little bit more electronic-y.
I guess a lot of those mediums, like you mentioned, record stores, those have gone online, and so what? I guess we might notice more than the absence of some things, because it's obvious, yeah, it's online, it's this or that, it's an app, whatever. What has filled those gaps, those empty spots? What can we infer about the void that had to be filled, and what kinds of businesses then do we end up with? That's really, I think, the intriguing thing.
Well, that is kind of interesting. What replaced them? More shoe stores? More clothing stores? I mean, I think that's exactly what did replace them. But how is it that these places are able to continue existing in the age of electronic shopping? Everyone comes out here.
Right, and Amazon, a lot of these companies, Mace, department stores, shoe stores, a lot of them, you can get all of their stuff online anyway. So by having a retail store, obviously, yeah, they can bring in people that are just walking, ambling through, not browsing. It's a totally different thing than being online, but it's expected that they all have a presence there. So that, in addition to entities that are solely online, like your major online retailers starting with the letter A, all of these kinds of things, who don't have a physical presence, they don't seem to be putting a lot of these businesses out either. Yeah. So as much as that's popular and convenient and in vogue, this seems to still have a place. And even though a lot of the kind of types of stores have transitioned and moved around and shifted a bit, it still has a place as a venue to walk through and serves a purpose for browsing and doing several different types of shopping in the physical sense, and maybe getting deals, maybe actually walking away with it that day, not paying shipping. These kinds of things, I guess, are all motivating factors. And then whatever social anything you possibly could get out of it. No, that just hurts to say, but.
Well, I think social is definitely a key to it, because people come here to mingle, and that's what you see. You know, a lot of kids come to the mall because that's the place that you hang out. But it's also gotten a lot more spread out, because surrounding the mall are now strip malls and all kinds of other things. So it just keeps expanding. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, they have all these micro kind of malls around, and it's just we're really surrounded by it, and to come to a mall, you're in an island of just that. But I do think that families enjoy it. because you know you can eat a little bit. You can, as you said, you got kids having fun, just running around. It's a safe place, right? And it is something you can share. And it's easier. I think it would be very hard if you had a small child or, you know, other people in your family to just crowd around a computer or look on a phone. That's a totally different shopping experience. And I think that's actually something that malls might historically have as a virtuous thing that we would be remiss to lose, right? I mean,
I'm willing to give it a try. I mean, why not? It's, malls, I just don't like them. There's something about being enclosed and having all these, like, you know, things being hawked at you, pressure, you know, and just, it's been here so long, it's been here throughout my life, I just kind of like to be away from this kind of confined atmosphere.
So perhaps if we had better cities where you could walk and shop, and it wasn't about strip malls at all, it was that our cities were, well, you know, built and interesting enough that businesses open in all of the normal places, but our suburban cities tend to be really single level and boring.
Yeah.
And horribly built. I mean, built with sticks and paper.
And without mass transit in mind,
yeah,
so that people have to drive everywhere. And that's sort of, you know, it's a reminder, because I grew up without a car when I was a kid. I was like, the only person in my neighborhood that had no car. And, of course, I couldn't go to the mall, but then everybody else did. And you kind of felt left out as a result of that, even though when you look back on it later, you realize it wasn't that much to be left out of. But still, as a kid, it means a lot more.
Yeah, and you could really just hang out and loiter and not really have supervision and not be questioned by any of the businesses or other authorities in the mall. So I could see that as a bit of freedom that you were yearning for at that age. I know it was probably something I enjoyed, I although it became more utilitarian than anything, and then I later just avoided altogether, much in the way you described.
Well, it's a trip down memory lane, I suppose, and just also a hub of activity for us here right before the Christmas holiday. Again, we are coming to you on Off the Wall, being broadcast on January 6th, but we're recording this in late December, and as a result of the basketball game coming up, which we have only 45 minutes of a show today to present. And also, you know, speaking of sports, we didn't mention this. It's the first time we didn't mention it, and it's kind of hard for us to mention it this time. But we've been following the FA Cup since August.
Yes.
And the third round proper took place last Saturday. And the team that we are following happens to be the lowest ranked of the 64 teams that played last weekend. Blythe Spartans, I believe, in the 7th division. And last weekend, the first two divisions finally joined in the competition. So basically you had Blythe Spartans, who have been playing from the beginning since August, and now finally the big teams are joining in. And obviously we don't know what happened, because it hasn't happened yet in our world. So Blythe Spartans was supposed to meet Birmingham, who are from the 2nd division, and they probably got slaughtered, even though they're playing on home turf. But you know what? I'm going to predict that Blythe Spartans only lost 2-1. Who knows? If they pulled out a victory, then you probably have already heard about it. It's that big a news item if that happened. Kyle, do you want to maybe predict anything? Or
no.
No? That's probably the safest way to
go
about it, I guess.
I'm pretty familiar, and at this stage, it's really, you could be aligning yourselves, and I have too much other turmoil in my life. I don't want to commit and be in one camp, and then, I mean, if I visit, invariably it'll come up. I just don't want to be put in that position. I know you understand.
Of course, you are the one who started this whole thing by picking Nunnington Griff back in August, and we've been following every team that has won the competition since then, and that brought us up to, coincidentally, the very lowest-ranked team in the entire tournament, which I think is awesome. Look it up. Go to the FA Cup. Find the results for last weekend and see what happened with Blythe Spartans and Birmingham, and I'm sure it'll be very interesting. Of course, we'll bring results as to whoever won that game in the next round. I think the 4th round proper is what they call that one. So that little bit of housekeeping there. And, of course, next week we will have the conclusion of our trip to Germany and the Autobahn. And I think in the next episode we're actually driving in the car.
Yeah, I think it was the time when we took the wheel by both hands, and saddled up to that old A whatever. Every highway is A, and then a number, A51, A5, A, Autobahn, right, A.
A stands for Autobahn.
Yeah, that's how it works. Anyway, so we saddled up to that A5 or whatever it was, and then we put that pedal right to the floor.
Yeah, and literally did that until we just couldn't go any faster. And I guess, you know, you could say, oh, you guys only made it up to this number of kilometers an hour. You know, I've gone faster, but, you know, the car only went that fast. So we went as fast as the car could possibly go without it, like, going down a cliff or something. So I'm proud of what we did.
Yeah, we would have definitely gone faster if we had the ability and felt safe enough. But that thing got up. It was pretty dang quick. And for a little economy car, an American one for European export, obviously.
Was it a Ford Fiesta?
Yeah, it was a Ford. Really impressed us. We were, you know, a little pride, you know, a little American car kind of hurling ourselves along. And, boy, it was interesting. It definitely, I felt good. I felt responsible and in control and, well, a little bit more adult there in Germany, where in the U.S., 60 is dangerous.
Well, you know, you're treated more like an adult over there, so that's why you feel more like one.
Yeah.
I think that goes for a lot of things. And when you travel around in different parts of the world, you see how people are treated differently, how they treat others differently, and that does reflect on who you become.
Yeah, and it was cool to just try it, right? I'd heard about it. I'd never actually ridden on the Autobahn. I got to ride on it and drive on it, and it was just the sense of, like, well, you know, I could do this. You know, I'm allowed in this particular context, and as a visitor, I think I should check it out. And by bringing that back here, I'm not saying an expectation we should change things here, but at least I bring that to my driving here and to my understanding of other things. And I think it applies. I think it applies to a lot of things that, you know, when there are speed limits, yeah, sometimes you can go a little faster, a little slower, and when there aren't guidelines like that, it's really up to you. And it's that confidence in your judgment that I think we should have a bit more of and feel freer to exercise in this country.
Yeah, and that goes to all sorts of different levels. The way you're treated in school, the way you're treated driving down a highway, the way you're treated on the internet, in every aspect of life. You need to be treated as somebody who has some ability to make their own decisions, and respect that person when they disagree, and not talk down to them. If you treat people like criminals, they will act like criminals. Treat people like children, they will act like children. Of course, behind us, they are treating people like children because, well, they are, and they're running around jumping. What are they doing back there?
Actually, they look fairly organized and probably more adult than a lot of children around. I don't know.
Really? Are they organizing against us?
They seem to have some kind of game going. There's a lot of chasing and tagging. but it definitely has rules, and they're enjoying themselves. That's the important part.
What's cool is if you stick kids in a pen like this anywhere, the rules will just suddenly come about. Games will emerge, and there will be rules. There's nobody telling them this is how it's done. They just and language is even an issue. Somehow, we've seen this before. They just organize. It's a little bit scary, actually.
Yeah, and there's no. I love seeing that inhibitions. There's no social constructions or perceptions or ingrained self-consciousness in any of them. They're all open and accepting the getting together of the group and being with one another for the sake of that alone. There's no exigence. There's no prerogative. There's no rules that, you know, well, you're a certain type of kid. No, all kids can participate, and that's kind of inspiring.
Yeah, it really is. And it's funny because they're probably never going to see these other kids again. They're just basically, you know, joining them for this hour or two of playing around. And then they're off to wherever their family takes them. And who knows who they'll see next time.
No, actually, I've seen them exchanging Twitter account names and stuff. So I think they'll probably all be on LinkedIn and stuff later.
Oh, yeah, look at that. They're beaming from one BlackBerry to the other. And
yeah, they just touch the phones like that. It's weird.
Used to be when I was a kid, we gave out business cards, but that's a time long past.
So we, as
we mentioned a couple of times, we're sitting here in this mall in late December, but as you're listening to this, we are actually overseas. What do you think we'll be on January 6th?
Oh, I just want to let everyone know that the cinnamon store,
Cinnabon, is you can say the name.
Frosting covered pastries. They've just rolled out a piece of dough, and there is a large piece of butter on it. They're prepping for the next round of cinnamon flavored buns. So I just want everybody to know that's under control. He's now smearing the butter, and we will have several pounds of cinnamon buns ready for everyone very shortly here.
Well, that's really disgusting. I didn't know we were going to do a play-by-play of the things that are going on around us, because there's all sorts of activities, people wheeling their kids around and people buying shoes. Yeah. I saw that.
I kind of puked a little saying that, but...
Well, I'm sure we all did. But as I was mentioning, yes. So where do you think we are today, January 6th, 2015? It's 2015, Kyle. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, indeed. Where do you think we are?
Yeah, because, well, we were in Germany for the CCC Congress.
Sure.
Or the Chaos Communication Congress. I said an extra Congress. And that was pretty good, wasn't it?
Oh, I'm always inspired, always impressed. I love the new space. It's got a lot of interesting features, a lot of things we might be able to use for some of our projects and events. Really impressed. Network was great, as always.
Met so many cool people. My God, I can't believe how many people came up to us and said, you guys are the coolest, and it's so awesome to meet you, and this is like the highlight of my life. So many people said that, and wow, I'm blown away. So thank you, everybody at CCC who did that.
Yeah, and that was just the half of it. I mean, the other half we can't even talk about. So, yeah, it's a success as usual. And, well, I think we're excited to be on the road. And I think where we are right now is in the south of Germany somewhere.
Oh, you think we went to the south of Germany? I was going to say we probably went to the north of Sweden. So, you know, it's in Europe, there's all kinds of places you can wind up. You can be in the east, the west, the south, the north, and it's all different.
Well, I know we have business in that area, but I'm not sure, you know, it could change. Yeah, maybe we'll be in Sweden or Norway or something like that. Who's to say, really?
Not us, because we're in the past. You know, you probably have a better idea where we are right now, listeners, than we do.
Yeah, but, I mean, let's not discourage people to listen to us from the past. We have a lot of us from the past hosted on the website. We wouldn't want any of those us from the past being relegated to obscurity or being made to feel as though they're not relevant or they're too old. You know, they have their place. Mm-hmm. So I think we're as entitled to speak with authority and for us to have this audience. Thank you, audience. We're, you know... We're as relevant, even though we're in the past. You know, I'm sure you know where we are. That's fine. Shout it at the radio again. That's fine. But, you know, here we are. We're telling you what we think and what we're getting ready for. And we're in the epicenter of culture.
In the mall. Well, you mean just
yeah,
in life?
That goes without saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, I agree. And
all
you know,
from the epicenter.
Well, you know, me from the past actually is a whole lot more popular and cool than me of the present, and definitely me of the future. I've heard that said many times. So I hear the points that you're making about not discounting those shows from the past or us now. Well, now we're in the past here, but we're playing in the present. Okay, but the point is. Where we are now, you know, you can find out where we are now by listening to Off the Hook tomorrow, assuming we're not preempted, and we'll probably be broadcasting live from there. So there you go.
Yeah, we'll probably call in. I don't know if this, I don't know what the state of the station is. I don't know what connection or how we'll do it. But yeah, there's probably a lot more information and a lot of news and updates from the event and some of the events that happened last month and just a lot of coalescing of info. And you'll definitely find out where we're at then too. So.
Yeah. Hey, the sports guys are here. They're getting ready for their show in a few minutes. So
yeah, they're a little breathy.
Well, yeah. Well, they have to set up. You know, there's a lot of patch cords you have to put in and things like that. And it's you know, it's a game from far off Colombia.
huffing and puffing and
no, those are the players. The players are going to do that.
Oh, they've already got... Okay, okay. Sorry.
It's going to be an exciting game. So that starts at 6:45. And as you can see, it's getting ever closer. But it's not quite there yet. So let's not kick us out just now. Again, we'll be back next week with our other tape show that we taped in May of last year in Germany. But as we reach the conclusion here in the Smith Haven Mall in late December of 2014, I guess I'm feeling a bit sentimental that we will soon be going to different malls in different cities and seeing different people doing basically the same thing. I don't know what else I can add to that other than it's that special time of year where everybody feels compelled to buy things and go
imagine
nuts.
Imagine this is going on in other parts of this country and around the world in different languages, and that's really the only difference. And we are in other places. It's a lot of this, but in different dialects and different accents. And that's the one thing with travel. I mean, get out there, people. This world is getting smaller, and there is so much we have in common with other human beings. And at the same time, many differences. And let's become aware and celebrate those.
Yeah, but people are buying different things in different areas. Like when we were in Germany, walking through stores, I don't know, people just seem to be into different... I see a lot more excitement over electronics, for instance, in various department stores in Germany. At least I did last time I was there. Certainly in China, when you go to a mall there, they go bananas over, latest phones. Of course, we do as well, but it just seems a little bit more frenetic over there. I remember in Spain, when I was buying clothes, it just seemed different somehow. It's very hard to put into words. Subtle differences, but differences all the same.
Yeah, and I think it's in large part we take a lot of the variety we have in the market for consumer electronics very much for granted. We have a huge selection, so much that we all become sort of disillusioned and glazed over and then eventually just don't care. And in other places, they just have a couple things and they admire the things we develop, and it's hard to get them, and they're expensive to import. And so thus they do go a little bit crazy for those things. And I agree with you. Yeah. Like clothes shopping in a nice, big city, totally differs. The attitudes about, trying things on or styles, even, what a dress code is here might be just casual wear there. These kinds of things are all very interesting to see and experience.
And of course the prices vary wildly from place to place.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Imported stuff. It depends on where the stuff is made and proximities and these kinds of things.
Yeah, we should do a whole series just on malls. Like every week we're in a different mall, and that would be the show. It's basically off the mall instead of off the wall.
Off the mall.
What do you think about that? I just came up with that idea.
Okay, let's do. That'll be a podcast. It'll be like straight to Zune. Your Zune player? No, I don't know. Sure. What station is going to play that?
What station isn't going to play that? But thinking about this, thinking about podcasts and thinking about all sorts of technology and developments and things like that. I'm just thinking about when I first went into a mall as a kid, what was possible and what was not. Podcasts, that wasn't even a word. Nobody had computers. Nobody had a cell phone. There was no such thing as a CD. People came to malls, they bought vinyl records. That was a big thing. Sam Goody was the big store here, and everybody would come and buy records. The clothing, there was still clothing, crazy fashions, of course.
I don't see
any payphones. You know what?
No payphones, obviously.
There used to be payphones, that's right. There are no payphones here anymore either. But it's just, the world has changed so much. But we were saying what?
Like credit cards?
They had credit cards then.
Okay, how about this?
But they had to ka-chunk them,
Wireless credit cards?
No.
Oh yeah.
No, they didn't even process them over the phone. Because they they had to call, I guess, to do that, but there was no data connection.
Of course you'd have the carbon paper, and that's how you would have your credit card sent. Of course they'd send it in a couple days later. That's how it works, and very much an interesting development.
Well, just that alone. Just think about that. You would, if you bought something on a credit card, you would there was no magnetic strip on the back of the credit card. You hand it to the clerk. They would get that little ka-chunk machine. The raised lettering would be imprinted on carbon. And that is how they would one day or one time submit all the sales. It's unrecognizable. That one part of the transaction that you would do in a mall 30 years ago, maybe.
It's not even a backup anymore, right? If their machine's down, they don't sell anything, or they're cash only. They won't even use that or don't have it unless it's a department store. And then that's the former. They don't use it. It's just, oh, no sale.
Yeah, so a lot has changed. Things are faster. Things are more streamlined.
LEDs. I see LEDs. There's LEDs all in those light sockets.
In the past, we didn't have LEDs.
We didn't have LEDs. Those are LED floodlights.
So we'd use regular incandescent light bulbs
Maybe
in the past.
Maybe it would be hotter.
It would be hotter.
We'd be wasting more heat energy from our lights. I don't know. There's all kinds of those little... It's the details, I think, mostly. Because, again, as we said at the beginning, a lot has not changed about malls.
People have gotten bigger.
No,
have you
I
noticed
don't really
that?
See
oh,
that
they have.
People here.
Well, they're around, but yeah, but I mean, in general, people have, and I think that's something. That's why the hallways are wider than they were in the past, and there's more food places.
Yeah, I think people are really they understand the difference between real food and processed food. I think the message has gotten out.
Speaking of food, though, when this mall opened, there was no food court, and now there is. And I noticed they have a Thai place here, which that's new within the last, I think, year, although it's been a while since I've been in this place. But something like that would have been unthinkable anywhere, really. Basically, ethnic food back when I was growing up was Chinese, pretty much, and that was it.
Neat.
Actually, yeah, kind of horrible. All right, well, listen, we're almost at the end, so any closing thoughts on the holiday season and malls and consumerism in general?
I hate it. Good riddance. Be happy if it never occurs again.
Well, thank you, Mr. Grinch. This has been a fascinating interview. We are prepared to leave now. There's nothing we have to... I might buy those calendars, though. That's the only thing I can think of to get in the mall. But after that, an hour and a half getting out of the parking lot, and we are free until the next time we have to do this.
Yay.
All right, this is Manuel for Off the Wall.
Whatever, bye.
And that was Kyle exuding the Christmas spirit. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Stay tuned for basketball, and next week we'll be back on the highway in Germany.
go to the mall. Let's go to the mall. Let's go to the mall of the future. I hear they've got it all. I hear they've got it all. I hear they've got it all at the mall of the future. Let's go to the mall of the future.